Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou wilt open the Word to us this morning. Help us to lay hold of the truth of it. Help us to make application of it to our individual lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are studying together the book of the Revelation. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the first chapter and read with me again the paragraph which begins with verse 12, which we have begun to look at a bit in detail. John, you will remember, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard behind him a loud voice, an impressive voice, and he turned to see the voice that spake to him, because that voice had said, I am Alpha and Omega. And as he turned, we read in verse 12, John reports, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We have already discovered that the seven golden candlesticks represent the seven churches in Asia Minor, about which we have already read, and of course figuratively represent the churches of all ages from the day of Pentecost when the church began until the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to take the church out of the world. We said that John turned and saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of these churches. What a wonderful relationship it was to be at fingertip communication with him. But as we pursue our study of this particular vision, the thing that attracts our attention next is that the Lord Jesus Christ was seen by John in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man. When John turned and saw this being in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I repeat, he saw one like unto the Son of Man. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit chose this particular phrase to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the phrase that is used most often in the Gospel of Luke, that gospel which portrays the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ as no other gospel does. We are reminded that even though the Lord Jesus Christ, as we shall see, was in his glorified, exalted position at the right hand of the throne of God, he lost nothing of the familiarity of his human form that was so precious and so dear to those who had learned to love him. Repeatedly the question is posed to us, will I be able to know my loved ones when I get to heaven? What will they look like? Will they be different than I know them now? Will I have the joy of recognizing them? Will they be able to recognize me? There are multitudes of scriptures that give us assurance that we will know our loved ones in heaven. But here is one precept and example set before us, the fact that we will know our loved ones, for the Lord Jesus Christ is presented here as the Son of Man. There was no question in John's mind as to who he was. Immediately he recognized him as the one who walked the shores of Galilee, the one upon whose bosom he leaned his head at the Lord's table. There was no question in his mind at all as to who he was. And after he identified him plainly, because he recognized him for what he was, he begins to describe how he looked. And once again you say, how in the world could a person look like this? And why did he describe him in this fashion? Why didn't he just say something that would be easier for us to understand? Once again, for the same reason that he spoke about candlesticks in relation to the church, he uses the figurative language in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the few brief verses, phrases, volumes are spoken. Now, we would like for you to look with us at this vision from the standpoint of a few suggestions. We suggest that you take these thoughts we leave with you and pursue your study further yourself. Let the Word of God speak to your own heart, for time will not permit us to go into drastic detail of what we see here. So we're simply going to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ was presented in the fashion as he was for the following reasons. Look at verse 13. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Notice the statement now, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. What is significant about this thing? What is this thing that drew John's attention? What was it upon which he focused his attention? It wasn't the long robe, necessarily. While the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth, he wore a long robe. John wasn't particularly interested in that. There is no nakedness in heaven. Everybody's clothed in heaven, so he wouldn't be thinking about anything unusual about that long robe. But the thing that drew his attention and the thing to which he calls our attention is that he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That is, he was girt about the breast with a golden girdle. Now this is what intrigued John, because that isn't the way that he remembered him. When he remembered him upon the earth, he remembered him as girt about the waist with a towel, because while he was on the earth, his business was one of service. He said while he was on the earth that he came to be ministered unto, or came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. John himself was so impressed with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will remember he devoted one entire chapter, practically speaking, in his gospel, John chapter 13, to a story of how the Lord Jesus Christ girded himself about the waist with a towel and washed the disciples' feet. The waist is not girded now as a symbol of service, but the breast is girded now. And we say to you that the breast is girded in the vision in which John saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The breast is girded for the purpose of judicial work. And the breast is emphasized as being girded because even though the judge was girded for the work that he was about to do in the midst of judgment, he was going to remember mercy. You see how much John can say by simply saying he was girt about the breast with a golden girdle? Well, you look at the 14th verse, because John has seven things. Notice our number again now. Seven things to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven details of this blessed picture which is presented in the Word of God. He first mentioned his body. Second, he mentioned his head. In verse 14, he said, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And when John looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked at his hair, and it intrigued him. This was not how he had remembered it. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about the hair, the color of the hair, which the Lord Jesus Christ had. There is a traditional word portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ that was written by a man who lived and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, though it is not included in the scripture. And that individual describes the hair of the Lord Jesus as sort of an auburn-colored hair. Now, whether this is true or not, we don't know, because it isn't the inspired word of God. But it can be accepted with the same assurance that any historical fact can be accepted. At any rate, when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he noticed that his hair was different. And that is the reason why he draws our attention to it. You notice what he said. He said it was white as wool. And the Lord Jesus Christ, now restored to the glory that he had with the Father at his right hand, the glory that he had before the world was, would look like God, of course. He adds something about the whiteness of his hair. It wasn't enough to say that it was white as wool, which speaks of the eternal character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but he mentioned again that it was white as snow. This was a favorite idiom of scriptural writers to describe the whitest white that they knew anything about. You know, sometimes we think things are white until we get white beside snow, and then we decide it wasn't white at all. Well, that's exactly what John was saying here. The whitest white he had ever seen, that was the hair of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a concordance will reveal that whenever whiteness is mentioned in relation to the heavenly realm, it is always an illustration of the righteousness that exists in heaven. We never see many real righteousnesses here on earth. The only righteousness we have seen on this earth is that we have been able to ascertain in the lives of individuals. And the Bible tells us that righteousness, human righteousness, is as filthy rags. So when we look at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we will have opportunity of doing someday, we will be able to see exactly what John saw. His hair was white as snow, white like wool, true righteousness of an eternal character. Then you will notice the third thing that is mentioned in the last part of that 14th verse when we read, "And his eyes were as a flame of fire." Notice the accuracy of the scriptures. It doesn't say that his eyes were flames of fire. This wasn't some awful looking image that shot fire out of his eyes. It simply said that his eyes were as a flame of fire. When John looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was reminded of a bright flame. And he calls our attention to that because he never saw the Lord Jesus Christ like that while he was on the earth. While he was on the earth, his eyes were marked by compassion, but now he sees him there in heaven. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and the reason is easily ascertained as we take the trouble to go to the Word of God, because fire is always the mark of God's searching judgment in the hearts of men. The Lord Jesus Christ is ready for judgment. That is what the vision says.